Amen. Well, isn't that wonderful? She was able to give her testimony. There was five or six people there, I think she said. And how many know God has a place and a destiny for all of us? Amen. I know some of you have family members. Some of you have others that you are in connection with. And we're believing God. Amen. For divine connections. Where one-on-one, we can find people that maybe they're, you know, not in fellowship with God right now, or maybe they've been born again, but they're not really walking with God. And you may be that labor to help them to move to that next place in God. Or if they're not born again, we want them to come to Jesus, right? Amen. Number one, glory to God. Everybody says, well, you're just trying to find members for this church. I'm trying to find members for the kingdom of God so that people know Jesus, number one. When people know Jesus, then they might want to come to church. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know when people come to know Jesus, it's easier to get them to come to church? Well, some people may come anyway. That's good. We want them to come, you know, but I know that you have a testimony. Amen. Every one of us has a testimony. You know, you think, well, my testimony isn't very spectacular, but it's enough. It's what happened to you. And no one can take that from you. And it's full of power and it's full of life. And you can reach somebody for Jesus. I know God has set me up several times. Sometimes he'll just drop a word in my heart. Hey, do you know you are light to this place? Well, I was just looking at that in the Bible this morning, this lady tells me. That was part of my devotional today. And I was able to minister. How many know it's important to minister to saints too? How many ever need an encouraging word from somebody you don't know? Amen. How many know God can give you a word? It might be that simple. Just something simple. But if we'll listen, we'll be obedient. Amen. We are obedient sons and daughters of God, aren't we? We hear his voice. We obey him. And we don't have to wait for the voice of God. How many know? He said here, we've already been at commission. Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That means to proclaim, to say it, to talk about Jesus. Amen. And I know I get around people and, you know, eventually we get around to our favorite subject. Amen. Glory to God. And many times it's just a conversation. It doesn't have to be that you're quoting every scripture to them. How many know sometimes we got to make a friend? Sometimes we just need to be the listening ear or that smile. Or when we hear something, oh, hey, could I pray for you? Could I just say a word of prayer for you? Would you? Would you? I mean, if somebody's really shared something on their heart. And what I found is a lot of times we think that the healing power, sometimes we receive healing. I mean, Diana's had opportunity to testify about what happened to her, and people can see that God has done a work in her. Amen. Praise the Lord. She's always recovering. Amen. I see her get healed a lot of times. If anything comes on her, she'll be cured. She'll receive that miracle. She's building her faith more and more, and she's going to get miracles to others. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so really, you know, when we do have miracles like that, it opens people's heart. Or when we talk to people and share life, many times I've found people open their heart when they know how much you care. They really begin to say, wow, you know, that's, I mean, it may take a minute. Sometimes it's not the first time you meet somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got opportunity. I've got a few people that I see, some of them regularly, you know, and the lady down there at the other McDonald's, you know, that I go to, you know, and the guy that's, you know, over at the hardware store, wherever you shop. There's all kinds of people, amen, all around us every day. We've got family members. There's people that we just, I know Jim's got a, I got some kids that come around here, and I talk to them all the time. They come play in the parking lot here, and we talk a little bit and talk to many of them about the Lord. And we had the 8 of them that came right here and sit on this front row. Jim was here that day, and that particular day, she says, "You want to come in and look at the church?" "Yeah, let's look at the church." And they came in, and she says, "Well, I'll get Pastor Doug." "Oh, he's our friend." Amen. Even if I didn't know, you know, they saw me as their friend. How many know it's important to be friendly? Amen. Just a little kindness goes a long way in the world today. And that's not really what I was preaching on today, but we're having a little message on it today because each one of us has opportunity every day. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to make the most of every opportunity. Amen. How many of you know we can make the most of every opportunity? We can say, "Lord, I'm available." At least we're available. I remember one preacher, he said he even got in a bad mood. Because he'd gotten a lot of miles. He's supposed to fly first class back from Africa. And they put him back in the coach. He said, "Oh, they put me back here. You're going to put me all back there with all the cattle," basically, he was saying. He said, I'd been ministering here for 2 months in Africa, and I was looking forward to just kind of relaxing a little in that first class seat. Didn't quite work out that way. But nevertheless, his wife was trying to tell him God always gets us in the right place. But he said, "I had taken my attitude and I wasn't talking to anybody." Well, the guy in front of him started to die. He needed prayer. And so his wife piped up, said, "Well, my husband can raise the dead." Well, bless God, he did go out, and he finally did die. They called the doctors, they did everything they could, and he heard that gurgle of death, and he died. She said that, and they said, "Well, let him pray for him." And he did, God did, and raised him from the dead. And even sometimes when we're not perfect, how many know God will still use us? We can change our heart that fast with one talk with him. Amen. And you could be available. I'm not saying we should get a bad attitude. That wasn't my point. But even if we did, we can change our heart just like that with one prayer to heaven, and God can begin to use you right where you are. Hallelujah. And I know a lot of us here and out there, I know a lot of you are in prayer all the time and have opportunities to bring people to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And really, why are you praying? So that we what? So that God can continue to transform us to be more and more like Jesus, that we would be a witness. Didn't he fill you with the Holy Spirit? He said what? When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what are we? We're a witness, that you might be a testimony, a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. How many want to be a good witness for the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. A testimony. That means if all the people around you at work aren't acting right, you have a great opportunity. Hallelujah. Thank you for your excitement. I didn't see anybody jump on the back of the chairs and say, "Hallelujah, that's me. Woo, I'm in the right place. All the sinners are around me." I worked in a place, they were all sinners. Every one of them. one guy, well, he, I take that back. There was one guy, that was my manager, and he was saved, but he was kind of, well, he wasn't really walking with God. And he was trying to get me fired, actually. I found out later. The one Christian there, you know, trying to get me fired. It didn't work, praise the Lord, at first. Later on, he changed, and he even told me, he said, well, I'm going back to church. I'm going to go see God. I said, well, thank God. I'm glad. I'm glad. So, praise God. We can be a testimony and a light. Amen. Well, glory. Well, let's go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we've been talking about each one reach one this morning already. And these scriptures, I really, I like these scriptures right before. Of course, we all know one of my favorites has always been 2 Corinthians 5:17. But how many know there always comes greater understanding when we read the verses around and the chapter around and the book around, different verses, amen? We don't want to just lift it out of its setting to gain understanding necessarily. But the reason I really like that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, because I learned it as a youth. I was 11 years old, I believe, and I had given my heart to Jesus, but this verse is the first verse that really went off in my heart where I understand that something changed inside of me. And I know I was only 11 years old, 10 or 11 years old, but it brought an understanding. I said, something the old left and something in here in my heart became new. And this was one of our memory verses on a Wednesday night. Mrs. Visser, she taught our Wednesday night class at that time. And she taught many different age groups over the years. She'd teach a different age group like every 5 years or so. And I guess it was my time to have her. But it was really a blessing to my life. And it changed me forever. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus had moved into my heart. And that I was a new creature. Or as the, you know, or new creation, we'd say, today. Old things have passed away and all things became new. Not on my outward man, but on the inward man. And I know you've experienced that, amen? If you've been born again, you know that something changed on the inside. That old nature was removed and you received a new one. And I don't care if you had all kinds of struggles after you got saved and the outward man, that inward man, became new. He was translated, the Bible says, in Colossians chapter 1, from darkness to light. Amen. We were translated. That's a very interesting word. In other words, you were changed. You went from one place to another. Let's look over here in Colossians. Let me see. Because he is looking here, and we're the firstborn, right? Things had changed, but we've been translated from darkness unto light. Hallelujah. Trying to find that exact verse here. 13, thank you. Yeah, 13. I know it was 13 or somewhere here. 13, okay. He has delivered us, it says in verse 13 of Colossians, from the power of darkness and conveyed or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Hallelujah. How many are glad that you've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You know, in 1 John it says, we know that we pass from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. How many know that when we get born again, there's a new love that moves on the inside of us? It changes our heart. We got a love we didn't have before. Now, sometimes, and some people, they say, well, I kind of struggled, but yet they did. Deep down in their heart, they had a love for people that they didn't have before. They cared about people. There was a change that took place on the inside. Even though sometimes in the outward man, how many know it takes a minute for some people to change and get over into the full changing of the outward man, but how many know it comes from the inside out? As we learn, as we grow in our spiritual man, it shows up on the outward man. That's part of repentance, where we're what? We're sorry, yes. Sorry for our sin, but it's more than that. We change our mind, and then it what? Begins to show up in our action on the outside. First, it starts inside. All permanent change comes from the inside out. Did you know that? I hadn't read over here in Corinthians yet, but I'm going to. And so when that change begins to take place, as I was saying, I remember that change that took place in me. I realized I'm not the same man. I'm not the same little boy I was. I didn't have to say dirty words anymore. I finally realized, okay, God has given me something that I didn't have before. And as part of my reborn spirit, it was called self-control. Anybody, your mother ever tell you that? You know, use your self-control. You know, and yeah, to a degree, when we're not born again, we have a certain amount of self-control. We do. But many times it's what the Bible, you know, what we refer to a lot of times or as a like in the Old Testament, it's like a synthetic conscience. You know, it's more based on law. Don't do that, because if you do, you're going to be punished. But the Bible says here in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge not thus, that if one died for all, then all died. So if Christ died for everybody, amen, then all have died to what? To sin. The price was paid for all men to come to him. Now we all have to decide and choose to believe. And I remember one guy would always say this. I would work in my father's field, and I'd work with him some. Leon, he'd say, well, we just have to believe, right? And I'm thinking, yeah, we got to believe. But what I didn't understand, see, I didn't really know how to answer him at the time. I'm just a young kid, so I'm still praying. I said, Lord, I mean, it sounds good. Yes, we have to believe. But how many know we have to believe in the heart? We have to believe something. We have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. It's not just believe that God is. See, the devil believes, the Bible says, and he trembles. Many people believe that Jesus is the Savior, but they will not confess sin. They said, well, someday, sometime I will. Hopefully they don't die before they do. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I'm not, anybody ever heard that? I'm not quite ready yet. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow, but today. And how many know when the love of Christ compels us, it doesn't make it difficult to love people, does it? We have a compassion. We have a love that says, oh, then Jesus died, and he died for all, verse 15, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Now there's a life verse for you. Amen? That's what I call a life verse. And he died for all, verse 15, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. How many are learning not to live for yourself? That's why we're what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. See, our message is not hard. It's very simple. Nevertheless, we're trying to get people to do it. And we're encouraging people to do that. Why? Because when we have a death to ourselves and we live to God, things begin to change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. Because they can see the change, guaranteed. They will begin to see. I'm telling you right now, my wife could testify that I'm not the same person that I've been in the past. I had some things that I did walk in, and there's things that I'm still walking through today. Not to that extent, but it was pretty serious. I mean, I was pretty much under a lot of that. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation. I had a lot of condemnation in my heart. And I had to learn who I am. And I began to learn I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I remember one person in my life would tell me all the time, he says, well, you just think you're so righteous. And I didn't know what to say. And so finally one day I said, well, I am. And they didn't know what to say. You know, I finally said, I am. Well, what do you mean? You know, well, the Bible says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. They had no answer. And the Lord, really the Lord, silenced the enemy. How many know he comes as the accuser? Amen. The enemy comes as the accuser. I wasn't trying to be higher, mightier than anybody, believe me. Far from that, but I was learning some things. And I remember learning that, hey, verse 21 here, he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The place that you live is a place called righteousness, and God believes in you. He believes that you can walk righteously. He believes that your character can change. He believes that your mind can be renewed and that you can be transformed to look more and more and more like Jesus. But how many know it is up to us? We have a part to play because we have a free will. We can choose to fellowship with him. And when I began to fellowship with him more and more, especially spending time praying in the Holy Spirit, he began to explain to me, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. What does he mean? He means there's a surrender taking place on the inside of you that says, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to pray your perfect will out for my life, and I'm giving you permission to do as you choose. I'm allowing you to bring to pass the very mind of God, the purpose and plan of God for my life. I'll let you in, Lord God, to see my heart and to change whatever's necessary that I might be the light that you called me to be, that I might be the testimony that you created me to be, that I might walk with you hand in hand and possess the land that you have given me. Because there's a place in him that we walk where the peace of God will pass all understanding. And it won't matter what's going on around us, round about us, but it will be what's in us. And the Bible says, my peace I've given to you, not as the world's given. That makes us different. It makes us a testimony. It makes us in a place with God where righteousness dwells. See, being right with God is really the issue. Amen. And when we're right with him, love will compel us, number one. Secondly, we're not going to live any longer for ourselves. Now, I've meditated on that for a while. I thought, yep. Those who live, what? In Christ. Because he says, and he died for, oh, we died. If one died, then all died. That means everybody that's been born again, you died in Christ. He paid that price. You were buried with him, it says in Romans 6. Raised, what? In Ephesians, he says you're raised together with him. Raised together with them. Seated together with them in heavenly places. Far above. Far above. In the third chapter he says, far above. Where is he seated? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. That you might rule and reign in life in one Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know, how many want to live where you've been created to live? In who you really are. A raised son and daughter of God. One that's been changed by the power of the living God. One that is compelled with the love of Christ. One that is now no longer so concerned about themselves, but you're living for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we don't know him any longer. He's just saying, we knew him after the flesh. We walked with him. Now here Paul's talking, and he had seen Christ. Even after he had raised, he was mentored, how many know, by the Lord himself. He said, I didn't receive this gospel myself. I received it from the Lord. Amen. He sought God. He let the Holy Spirit teach him. He spent time with God, years with God, seeking after God. And Paul had a knowledge of the Word of God. How many know you can have knowledge? But the Holy Spirit brought understanding and wisdom. And he said, all of these things that I have done in the past, all of this law that I kept, all of my good works that I tried to do, I count them as dung that I may know Christ. To know him. It's one thing to be born of God, to be born again. It's another thing to really know him. And I know I've said that before, but I really believe that. Because how many know there's a difference in knowing somebody? Amen. And just being acquainted with them. See, all your great Facebook friends that you're acquainted with, that you've never met personally, that you don't see hardly ever, but you always tell them happy birthday, and, you know, they're just acquaintances, really. You know. Now, some of them you may know and you fellowship with. I understand that, but see, this is our family. We get to what? Know one another. That's different than just an acquaintance, right? You know, you don't go out to dinner with the lady that just sold you the groceries, do you? Are you, huh? Yeah. Going through the line, would you like to go have a cup of coffee, ma'am? You know, sir, ma'am, whatever. You know, no, you're an acquaintance to them. Well, who is it? That's Mary. She does my groceries. I always get in her line. That's the one you're the testimony to. That's the one you're trying to, what, bring to Jesus. But here he's saying, you know, when we get to know him, there's a place of knowing him that makes you a testimony that's easy to give. We all have that testimony. Someplace, somewhere, somehow you came to Jesus. Amen. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was your mother or father. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was just God calling you in the night, in the dream. Or you drove by, I remember one lady, she kept going by the church, and she just wondered, what's all those cars doing there, and decided to stop in, gave her heart to Jesus. How many know we could be a testimony? Somewhere, some way, you found out about Jesus. Hallelujah. And gave your heart to him, and you were made righteous. Glory to God forever. And we're no longer regarding people, what, after this fleshly nature, after sin, after the nature of the flesh. but after the nature of the new life that lives on the inside of them. Hallelujah. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, we're the new creation. The old things pass. All things become new. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us that ministry of reconciliation, which we were sharing. And we saw that the demonstration of the example that Diana gave, where she started the knitting class and was able to give her testimony already. Say, well, that looks really small, but how many know that's the importance of life? That's the importance of everyday living. Everyday living isn't when we come to church. You know, it's nice. We can come to, you may fool me. You may even fool Jim. Who knows, you know? It's hard to fool anybody these days, but you know what? Sometimes people can. You may put on a smile. You may put on a good show. Anybody ever seen anybody like that? You know, they put on a good show. Everything looks great and they come on Sunday morning. But it's what are we doing Monday morning? What are we doing through the week? Are we seeking God to know him? That we may be a light. The whole purpose of us spending time with him and spending time in prayer is to get to know him. Time in worship, time in his word to see who we are. Created in righteousness and true holiness. You were created in righteousness and true holiness. You sit together with him far above. Let's go over there, Ephesians chapter 2. Where are we? We are someplace in him, a place called righteousness. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without condemnation, with no way of being condemned by any man, by any person. There is no law, nothing can stop you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2. He said, and you have been made alive. We'll just start at the first verse here. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. What spirit is working in the sons of disobedience? That spirit of death, the Bible says. Because you and I, we were made free from the law of sin and death. There is a death nature that lives on the inside of them. And they're walking according to that nature. The nature of death, which works sin and disobedience in people. Amen. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But we know that we've been given what? A new nature. And in that new nature, we found ourselves that God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. How many is his workmanship? Now see, we were changed. We were translated from darkness to light. We saw in Colossians. We've been made what? A new creation on the inside. Declared right with God. He gave us what? His righteousness. It's not ours. You're not going to get more righteous when you go to heaven. Oh my God. Now Pastor Doug, What do you mean? No, you get a new body. You'll get a new body and your desires on the outward man won't be there. They won't be bothering you anymore. Praise the Lord. I may be glad for that. Amen. Hallelujah. It won't be a struggle anymore. There'll be no struggle to walk with God. But you're not going to be more righteous. You've already been made right with Him. You've been declared righteous by that precious blood. And it cried out mercy for you and I, and the grace of God changed us and said, I'm going to impart to you my good riches in glory. My best I give to you, Son of God, child of the King, righteous joint heir, one that belongs to Him, seated with Him above all principality and power and might, and every name that could be named, under heaven and earth, you reign. You win because of Jesus. Now you said, that's a simple message, Pastor Doug. I know. But when we get it, when we can understand it, who we really are, not bound in condemnation, not bound in sin, but free to serve the living King and to walk with Him. And when we know Him, when we understand Him, when we know who He is, that He became my righteousness and I became a son, that He is my Father and He has freed me. And I'm no longer bound. I'm no longer bound to sin. I once was under that principality of the air. But now I've been made free. I've taken on a new name. Amen. And my name was written down in heaven. Right before heaven above. My new name. You've got a new name written down in glory. Did you ever hear that? Why? Because that's what it says in Revelation. Each one of us. You've got a name you hadn't heard yet. In heaven, you'll know it. Precious name with God. He's written your name in His book. And when He finds it, when you stand before Him and we enter in, what a day of rejoicing, of course, that'll be. But we are created in Him for one thing. To live for Him and with Him. And we're created, it says here, what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, good works will never save us. But how many know good works follow us after we know who we have believed in and who we are in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God, the ability to stand before Him without the fear of condemnation. He's not going to knock you out. He's not standing over you waiting for you to mess up. Oh, I missed a day of prayer. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to say, come on, let's go today. Forget yesterday. Forget what is behind. Let's press forward and receive what God has for us. His goodness, His glory. We are going into revival, folks. We are going to see what God wants us to see, which is the lame will walk, the blind will see, the maimed will be made whole. And souls will be saved. People coming running to Jesus. The most important thing. Amen. Now some of these things, like what happened to Diana, it rings, how many know? That rings a bell. Amen. People's interest are piqued when they see miracles. But miracles don't necessarily cause people to believe, but they may cause them to hear. Amen. They wanted to hear, well, what happened to you, Diana? Why are you walking? What a wonderful opportunity. Because Jesus is the healer. Because Jesus is the Savior. Because Jesus will change a life. And He'll change you just like He changed me. He'll change the heart, number one, amen? And from that heart change comes a life that's so filled with Him. Amen. Did He fill you when you got saved? Amen. He filled you. And then what? After you got saved, you got that new nature. How many received the Holy Spirit? The power of God. To be what? A witness, number one. A testimony for Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. He begins to teach us and we begin to see who He is and who we are in Him. And we can declare Jesus. How many know all a testimony is, all a witness is somebody that saw something? Amen. When we spend time with Him, we are blessed and we are filled and we know Him to what? To be a witness. We know Him to be a witness. See, the purpose of prayer, yes, is to change us. The purpose of worship is to know Him, to worship Him because He's worthy, and also to open our heart and to know the love of the Father as never before. When we spend time in private worship at home, I'm not talking about just at church is good. We need to come together. But how many think if we each spent some time at home worshiping God? You came to church on Sunday morning. We've already worshiped God for a couple hours, everybody. And we entered in that corporate presence that can come and do some things that can't be done just alone. Amen. Some things can change. Some things can move in the realm of the Spirit. And God will begin to display more and more. I'm not saying He doesn't. How many were here Wednesday night? Amen. How many enjoyed the presence of God? We just had a time of worship. It was awesome. It was wonderful when He comes. But you know how many know we can have that every day? You can worship God and you can come to that place of peace. It may not be the first time you enter in. Sometimes we worship God and we know, what does it feel like? Well, it hit the ceiling, Lord. I don't feel I have reached You. I said, I love You, Jesus. You know, I said, I love You, Jesus. I really love You, Lord. How many ever been there? But You bring what? That sacrifice of praise, that sacrifice of worship to Him. And He begins to fill our heart. Why? Because we've been made one with Him. We were raised together with Him. We were seated what? With Him. You are with Him and He is with you and in you and for you. And if God be for us, what or who can be against us? You say, well, I found out, and yeah, our flesh, it can fight us. A lot of times people say, well, the devil, he's against us. Yeah, he's against us, but he's really not our main problem. He was defeated. How many know Jesus made a show of Him openly? But how many know now it's up to us? It's our will. It's our flesh we have to overcome and defeat. And by that grace of God that lives on the inside of us, being saved by grace and through faith, not of ourselves, a gift of God is in you, not of my works, but of His workmanship, working in us, created in Christ Jesus. Letting Him work in us, giving Him permission by spending time with Him, getting to know Him, we'll all be a witness for Him because, see, it's the love of God is going to compel us. We're not going to be looking to live for ourselves alone, but for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. We're looking to live for Him and laying our life down that His life may shine. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, well, let's pray. Hallelujah, Father, we thank You for the word today. We didn't have a long word, Father, but we are challenged today to know You. We are challenged today to be a witness for You by knowing who You are, knowing who we are in You, Father. Thank You for making us righteous. Thank You for making us sons and daughters. Thank You for changing us. And bringing us from darkness to light, Father, that we're no longer of the spirit of this world, but we've been changed and we have been made new. We thank You, Father God, that the Word of God will penetrate deep in our hearts, Father, that we will continue on this path, Father, of transformation, that the light of God and the glory of God may resonate from us, Lord, that others will see You in us, Father, and our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We thank You, Father, for opportunities today and every day, Lord, where we can be testimonies for You, Lord God. We thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise God.